Praise the Lord, church. There is power in the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful that my God has power and that He has authority. I want to thank our worship team. This was Sister Kate Rivas, her first night as worship leader. She's been on our worship team, but go ahead and be seated this evening. If you're a guest of ours, again, it's so great to have you here with us on this Wednesday evening Bible study. And I'm going to jump right in here this evening. We've been working throughout the summer. We've had a series where we talked about the principles, the everyday principles of faith. And then we had a few little other short series that we've kind of blended in with that have been related. And last Sunday we started a two-part message, and I'm just going to finish this evening. And it's basically, we're talking about the struggle that we have with trust. Primarily the struggle that we have, and we don't always like to admit this. It's not something we just call our pastor up and say, I'm really struggling with trusting God, or I'm struggling with trusting you, or I'm struggling with trusting anyone in authority. We kind of hide some of these things, and we're going to just try to, I just want to bring some things out tonight that have been part of a 25, 30-year experience of life that some things I've dealt with. And so the past Sunday, we started this two-part message. It relates very closely to our series on faith. And tonight, we're going to jump right in. Sunday, we covered three simple points. Now, this tied in with our prayer and fasting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is today. How many of you are working or still on your fast and you're going to, like, binge at Culver's after church? If that's the case, then let me know, and I'd be happy to binge with you. But we covered identifying our fears. We talked about the fears that we have and identifying those fears. We talked about choosing to trust God with our fears. Now, one of the things I recommend, and I recommend this often, is that we write things down in a journal. Now, you may not want to write with your hands with an ink pen or a pencil, and you may choose to use some electronic device, but I encourage you to write these things down, identify your fears, then choose to trust God with those fears. And then this is the reason, and the focus on our 3-day of prayer and fasting was seeking God until He takes away those fears, whatever those fears may be. What I fear and what I struggle with is going to be different than what you fear and what you struggle with, because we're just different. We're individuals. We're different. God created us this way. So I trust that over the last 3 days, you've been seeking God in prayer and fasting and concerning these areas in your life. So we're going to move on tonight, and I wish to cover a number of additional points as to why do we struggle with trusting God. Now, this is something that has been on my mind and my heart for some time, and we're gonna get into some real hard, kind of punchy in the nose type direction tonight. I don't really mean physically, okay? Reasons why, or questions that we may have as to why we struggle with trusting God. So you may ask yourself, is it normal for me to doubt my faith? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever gone through a struggle, or maybe you're going through a struggle and you're doubting your faith and you're asking, is this normal? Am I normal? Does everybody else feel this way? Or am I just the only backslidden one in here? Because that's how we look at it and approach it sometimes. Is losing faith a sin? If I lose my faith, if I struggle in my faith, am I committing a sin? And why? Maybe you're going through and you're saying, Lord, why am I struggling, or why am I losing my faith in you? And why am I questioning my faith? Now, the reason I know that Jesus is concerned about these four particular questions that we may ask ourselves is because we can read in Luke chapter 18. It's a good read to start at verse 1, but I'm just going to throw out verse 8 tonight when Jesus is talking and he says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? That's a pretty blunt comment. When the Son of Man cometh, Jesus is saying, when I come, am I going to find faith? So he obviously understood. So if you've ever asked someone these questions, but you don't have the answers, or maybe you've been asking yourself these questions, then let's take a look at some of the things that causes us to struggle with our faith. As Christians, we are called to have faith in God. The Bible defines faith as follows. Our scripture that we've been using for this series is Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to read it out of the NIV tonight. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, when I look at that, that's a pretty bold definition. To have faith in God is to have confidence in who he is and what he has promised in his word with assurance, even when everything around us may suggest otherwise. So we have to understand that faith is standing firm on God's word, even when it looks like the world around us is falling apart. Faith is maintaining hope, even when everything around you looks hopeless. It's much easier said than done. I could sit here tonight and I could say, well, you just have to have hope. You just have to believe in God's word. You have to stand strong, brother. Stand strong, sister. And I go home feeling perfectly well and perfectly normal, and you go home with a very serious medical prognosis. I don't feel your pain, and you don't feel my pain. So it's easy to say that, and it's easy to say it to someone, but it's much more difficult. So to some degree, every person's struggle with faith is unique. However, generally speaking, when we get to the root of the doubts that tend to rise, they typically fall into three categories in which we start to lose faith. We start to lose faith in God. We start to lose faith in his word. And we eventually, our entire Christian walk becomes jeopardized as a result of that. So when we lose faith in God, what happens when we lose faith in God? When it comes to our relationship with God, there's so many things that can leave us with feelings of doubt about who God is. Now, we can sit up here and we can say God created the heavens and the earth. We can understand Genesis 1:1, and we can understand who God is or what God is and such, but there's so many things that can leave us with feelings of doubt about his existence and what he can actually do in our lives. You see, reading something and experiencing something are two different things. We can read about it, but we have to be able to take and experience that. And from what I've read, what I've studied, and what I've personally experienced over the years, there are several things that can lead us as Christians to feel why we feel about losing our faith in God. I just want to say the first point in this is sometimes we have unbiblical expectations about life. How many of you have ever found yourself telling someone that just repented of their sins, just been baptized, and received the Holy Ghost, that everything is going to work out from here on out. I've heard people say that. Oh, your life's going to be so different. Everything is going to work out. God is going to. And I'm sorry, but it doesn't work that way. If someone has told you that, I'm not diminishing anything of repentance. I'm not diminishing anything with speaking in tongues. I'm not diminishing anything with baptism. But everything is not perfect. Just because you've repented, you've been baptized, and you've received the Holy Ghost. So many times, many Christians have a false concept of what Christian life is actually supposed to look like. We have this unrealistic ideal that being a Christian solves all of my problems. I'm never going to have a flat tire again, right, Brother Jerry? I'm never going to get stranded on the other side of the mountain. I'm never going to get stuck for 2 days not having any idea where I'm even going to spend the night. You're a Christian. Everything is supposed to. But you see, being a Christian, we still have disappointments. We still have heartbreaks. We still have pain, and we still have to deal with tragedy. Whether we've come to believe this because it was something we were taught maybe growing up, or a sermon we heard, or maybe in a book that we read, or just how we chose to view things, I'm sorry, but you are going to have problems in this life. Pure and simple. If you think otherwise, it's not correct, it's false, I'm sorry, it's unrealistic, and it's actually an unbiblical belief and expectation about life. And when life ends up being the exact opposite of this belief that we have somehow built our life around, and when things start to fall apart or unravel on us, we start to doubt, we start to lose faith that, well, can God really do this? We observe or experience pain and suffering. Maybe it's been something that's happened in a loss, tragedy, or some sort of a social injustice, and it causes us to question whether or not God is really real in our lives. And because we can't make sense of such thoughts, we begin to suppress them. In fact, although we won't admit it, deep down we actually can start to harbor anger and resentment towards God. Hear me now, because I know what I'm talking about. Thus leading into our next point of being mad at God. You see, we go from having an unbiblical expectation about life, and when God doesn't come through the way we expect him because of our unrealistic expectation, we get mad at God. And if we're being honest, many of us will find that we have a list of why would God do this or allow this questions. I know I have. Why would God allow this to happen? I've had people, I read this all the time. Why would God allow evil to exist in the first place? Very simply, God has given humanity a choice. We're not robots. We don't have to serve God. He gave us a choice. Humanity made a choice. We chose the easy route. We chose the apple. We chose sin. We chose disobedience. And we are dealing with problems and sin and evil in life simply because of choices. But why would God allow this? I've read a lot of social media posts recently of the floods and such in Tennessee and South Carolina or North Carolina and in that region, and now in Florida being faced with one of the fifth largest hurricane they're talking about that's ever been recorded, and the devastation that is expected behind the storm surge on this. And we look at all of this and say, why would God allow this? And we could go on and on and on with our list. But the bottom line is these questions are often too burdensome for us to resolve, and because we can't quite wrap our heads around it, we start to question God and our faith. Have you ever had a situation that hit you so hard that you just couldn't, when I say wrap my mind around it, there's some things I just can't wrap my mind around. I can't wrap my mind around the length of eternity, that it's forever. My mind can't just dig into that and decipher that. I know what eternity, I know the definition of it, but to try to think that it's forever. That when you're in heaven with Jesus and we're all there and we've been worshiping God for 100 million years. Eternity hasn't even begun. We could say we've been worshiping God for 5 billion years, 10 billion years. And Sister Martha, eternity hasn't, how do you wrap that around? Because everything we know of has a beginning and an end. That's how we function. So we look and we start to question God. We start to question our faith. And in our anger and our frustration, we have to be careful, because we can go from having strong faith to having weak faith to losing our faith. Because of unbiblical expectations, we become angry at God, and because we become angry at God and we don't understand, in our frustration, we begin to question our faith, and then we begin to conform to the world's belief system. It's a progression. You see, if the devil can get you to just lose a little bit of faith, if he can get you to begin to doubt God, and he can get you to begin to doubt your experience with God, if he can get inside your mind, get inside your head and begin to question, and you begin to question the Word of God and the authority of God. You see, there is no shortage of things that distract us from God and his plan for our lives. Between social media, TV, the internet, entertainment industry, the emphasis, everything is completely on self. And whatever we can do to live our best life apart from God and without even realizing it as Christians, we can get so caught up in this mindset of the world. And the mindset of the world is teaching us and telling us that we don't need God. We can figure this out for ourselves. We're smart, after all. We can handle this. And what happens is, without even realizing it, we get caught up in this, that we don't need God, and we actually start to forget about God and start living as if we were no longer Christians. Now, before you look at me tonight and say, well, I'm a long cry from that, I'm going to ask you just two questions. In the last 3 days, how much time have you spent in prayer, and how much time have you spent in fasting? See, this is all about relationship. And only you can answer that. I'm not going to answer that for you. But when you talk about losing faith in Christianity, losing a relationship with God, it's just a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there. It's a compromise here. It's a compromise there. It's like, you know what? Wednesday night, church, it's boring. Pastor's always preaching hardcore. I can go and listen online, and then we blow off Wednesday night church, and then we decide to listen online, and we do that once, maybe twice, and then we stop listening online because we're busy working on a project. And I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here. But you see, this is what happens, and unfortunately, too often, We slowly, slowly, nobody intends to sail away from God. We just slowly drift. Brother Repka, it's just a slow process, just a little bit. We get a little bit further from shore and a little further from shore, and before we know it, we're out past the tide. And we look back, and shore is way, and we're on our own. So when we look at this, unfortunately, too often, I've seen this, and I have been a member of Calvary Gospel Church since 1972. It's when our family moved here. I think I was around 10, 11 years old. I think more like 10. I haven't figured the math out, but anyway, it's irrelevant. It's been a while. Some of you have been here. Sister Jan, Aunt Jan was here when we moved here. Lori, my sister-in-law, Lori Grant Manley, was here. I think the Puckets were here. The Thorpes were here. And I may miss a few of you others that go back that far. Some of you came in shortly after that. But I have to say, and I'm going to say this, because some of the most hateful things ever said to me were said to me right inside this church building. Can you believe that? But you see, too often we as Christians, we let how another Christian's bad day, we let their bad day affect us, and they say something to us, and Brother Ty, we cop an attitude, so you come in and you've had a bad day, and I just ask you something simple, and you snap at me, and I think, oh, wow, what's got into him? And then I go home, and I let that stew on that thing, and I let Brother Ty's bad day affect me and my walk with God. Listen, I don't care how mean you want to be. You can't say anything hateful enough to me to cause me to give up on my God. But you see, how we behave dictates towards us, how we, other people, other Christians, we allow that to affect our relationship with God and how we serve Him. The Bible says offenses are going to come. It's going to happen. These are things, listen, when a brother or sister chews you out, these are things that can really trust, can really affect your faith. You get up here and you preach a message and you go home and you get that email or you get that text message. It doesn't happen real often. It's not like we have a bunch of people that just, boy, they just love just getting on. If I have occasionally as a pastor, you just lay an egg. It's just the way it is. And I've learned that if I lay enough of them, hey, you know what? I can make an omelet. That's just the way it works. But I'm not going to allow, but sadly enough, we allow these experiences and observations, and we start to doubt God and struggle with our faith because of what somebody else says to us. So what does the Bible say about struggling with faith? At the core of all the root causes of faith doubts mentioned, everything above that we just talked about is based upon misconceptions. And most of the time, they're just simply based upon lies that the enemy tries to feed to us. And it's very important that we take a look at what does the Bible tell me? And we have to embrace what it says on whatever matter that we're dealing with. So we have to understand that life will be full of challenges. First and foremost, we have to understand that the Bible is absolutely clear that as Christians, we're going to have trials and tribulations in our lives that will challenge our faith. In fact, the more we seek to grow spiritually, the more challenges we're going to face. Right now, I'm going through a devotion, and the devotion, it's a very hard-hitting devotion. I don't like the content of the devotion because it's telling me exactly this, that there are going to be things that come up in life that's going to challenge you and cause you to struggle and doubt, but God uses things to sharpen us. God uses things to help us, change us, motivate us, conform us. And I hate it when God uses things like that. What about you? Does God ever do that to you? God ever just yank the rug right out from underneath you and you find out later that, you know what, it was a lesson that you needed to learn, but you hated having to learn the lesson? John 16:33 says, I've told you all of this that you may have peace. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I am so thankful that we have Jesus Christ as our example. We have to start here because when we let the truth sink in, when we let the scripture sink into our minds, that is half the battle. That is half the battle. And if that verse isn't enough, you can write down Psalms 34:19 and 1 Peter 1:6-7 and James 1:2-4 are some great verses to go home, look up, read them. And as you can see, the trials of life are actually tests of our faith. And they are inevitable for all Christians to produce spiritual endurance within us. If everything in life was easy, we would have no strength and no stamina. If God just did everything for us, God wants us to be strong. He doesn't want us to be weak. He wants His church to be powerful. And you only become powerful through adversary or adversity. So the matter of fact is all Christians struggle with faith in some aspect, one point or another. We all deal with this, but what I've learned is that it was all a necessary part of the journey to get me where I am today. I wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't have been for some of the struggles I had 10 years ago and 15 years ago, and 20 years ago. Those struggles and overcoming and dealing with those struggles is what has propelled me to where I am today. And many of you are here today for the same exact reasons. When we look into Romans 5, I love Romans 5:3-5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Don't you just hate reading this, though? I mean, be honest. We can rejoice, too. Seriously? Paul is writing this to the church in Rome. He said, hey, you know what? We can rejoice that when we run into problems, I'm thankful I'm in a Roman prison waiting to get beheaded. But you know what? That's going to teach me endurance. Are you kidding me, Paul? And endurance develops a strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. That's a mouthful. That's tough. That's tough to read. It's even tougher to live. But this is what Paul is saying. Just remember that God is so much bigger than anything we will face or any faith, doubt, or struggle that we will ever have. So how do we stay firm when we struggle with our faith? Well, it starts, there's two simple things that it falls down to. Number one is reading the Bible regularly. Simple as it sounds, it's the one thing that many Christians, I talk to people every week, And my first question is, when they start talking about their struggles, is how often do you read the Bible? How often do you read the Word? We have to read it regularly, because we cannot grow in or build our faith without spending time with God regularly. You can't just read a book on how to build your faith. You need to read the book. You need to read from the book. Romans 10:17, consequently, the NIV, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I promise you that when the toughest seasons of life hit you, you will have to learn to embrace the word of God, as your spiritual life depends on it, because it does. If we want to have deeper faith, we have to have deeper understanding. It's those moments when we're anxious and we're worried and we're stressed out, we're mentally drained, we're frustrated, we're fatigued, and the devil has us right on the brink of cracking, standing on the edge of life, standing on that cliff that you're just ready to plunge into the abyss, ready to call it quits. You're ready to just say, God, I'm done with church. I'm done with all of this stuff. Those are the moments when, if you have been reading God's word, or if you've been turning to God's word, God can bring to your remembrance the power of his word. You see, he gave us the Holy Spirit for more than just speaking in tongues. Reading the Bible regularly is the best routine you can establish as a Christian if you want to grow your relationship with God and build your faith. And the next very simple step is to talk to God about your faith doubts. I've had to go out in my yard. Sometimes it's been midnight. Sometimes 1:30, 2 in the morning, and sit out in my driveway and look up at the heavens. I'm almost finished, so our musicians can come. And I've had to have conversations with my God and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm angry. I don't understand. Help me to understand. I don't know why this is happening this way. I don't know why this person is reacting this way. I help me, Lord. And I can talk to God. We call it prayer. I like to just call it conversation, because I talk to God just like I'm talking right here to you tonight. So when you're struggling with faith, sometimes that conversation with God can feel like it's the hardest thing you've ever had to do. Because in your mind, as you're talking to God, in the recesses of your mind, you're doubting whether or not God is even there, or he's even listening or hearing what you're saying. But you see, it's in those times when it's more important than ever to ask God for help, for strength and guidance, for the peace that you need to trust in him. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I just want to say something here. Some of you haven't slept well in months because you can't turn your mind off at night from your problems. You see, there's a difference between sleep and rest. I want to find rest. I want to be able to feel that peace. I want to be able to take and cast all of my cares, all of my problems, all of my worries. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Paul writes to the church in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, Paul, you write some hard words sometimes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I've read this verse so many times, and it wasn't until just recently that the end of this verse just jumped right out at me. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, too often in our struggles with faith, because we don't feel we have enough faith, we struggle with trust, we let doubt, discouragement, confusion, and frustration settle in without ever even having a conversation with God about it. We strike out on our own. We get ourselves all worked up. And we never have a conversation with God. You can stand this evening. We have to understand something. We were never meant. God never designed us, Brother Josh, to go through this Christian journey all on our own. We can look around here tonight. It's just a portion of the members, the brothers and sisters of Calvary Gospel Church. But we look around here tonight. These are the people that God has chosen for me to go through life with, for you to go through life with. God wants us to be open and honest with Him upon how we're feeling. Did you know that? I just want to tell you, God can handle your anger. God can handle that. God can handle your disappointments. God can handle your frustrations. God can handle how you're feeling and what you're going through and what your struggles are. Because He is God. And He already knows, without us ever having to say a word, He's just waiting for us to have that conversation with Him. When we talk with God, we display obedience to His word. And when we display obedience to His word, it shows through our actions we are trusting Him. God wants you and I to trust Him with every aspect of our life. God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. And it's important to know that God is not mad at you when you struggle with your faith. And that faith is a deeply personal thing, and isn't something that you can force yourself to hold to. Your faith may be up and down depending upon the situations and circumstances you go through life, that you're dealing with as you go through life. Sometimes it comes from a revelation from the Word, other times through testimony of believers. Sometimes even through your own answered prayers. And we have to understand something. Remember that the struggle is temporary. We're just here for the Repka just a short while more, and this will all be over with. Our struggle is temporary, but God's love is everlasting. It's eternal. Regardless of how it comes to you, as the Bible says, when you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart, but believe in Him. God is asking, seeking for His church, you and I, to trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. So if our worship team begins to sing tonight, I just want to invite you. Over the last few days, you've praying and fasting. We've talked about identifying those fears. We've talked about choosing to trust God with those fears and seeking God. And it takes away our fears. So what is it tonight that you may be struggling with? Are you angry at God because perhaps life hasn't been how you anticipated it to be? Maybe you have a very skewed viewpoint of what it means to be a Christian. Regardless, God wants to hear your voice tonight.
Jesus is mine. He's been mine.